Did you know that there's actually a happiness index? And then there's actually a report that is called the World Happiness Report. And every year, they will run these reports to get a gauge of how happy people are. And according to the these reports lately, for a while, I think, about only 33%, one in three Americans say they are happy. Can you believe that? See, growing up, I learned 33% was an absolute failure. Well, actually, I learned 89% was actual absolute failure, but that's another story. But I mean, if you think about it, how low is that? One in three Americans say that they are not happy. I want to ask us a question this morning. It's a fairly simple question. Are you happy? Are you happy? Simple question, but most likely a very complicated answer, isn't it? For many of us, we might determine our happiness by our current circumstances. So maybe you just aced that last test, you got a raise or you got a promotion at work, maybe you're dating somebody, you get your new relationship, or maybe you might have just gotten married, or you had a kid, or second kid, or whatever it may be, and you say, yes, I am very, very happy in life. But for some of us here, maybe work has been difficult, or maybe you got laid off. Maybe you're just trying to make ends meet. You're struggling in school. Maybe relationships have been very, very rough. Your marriage is a wreck. You feel lonely. You feel like your kids are hard to handle. And so maybe very terrible things have happened to you this past year. And you would say, no, I am not happy. I am not happy. And I want us to think about this idea, or not even just this idea, but this reality of happiness. Happiness is not just an idea we talk about, it's a reality. People either say, you know, that everyone is chasing after everyone's chasing after happiness. And as we kind of think about this and think about how this meshes with our faith, I think a lot of times we come and approach Christianity as something we do. We're duty bound. This is how I should live my life. This is what I should do. And we ultimately forget that the mere fact that we can actually experience pleasure, joy, happiness is actually designed by God. It is not a flaw. It was intentional. God has created as beings to have joy and pleasure and happiness, and He wants to use that to motivate us. The famous French mathematician, physicist, and Catholic theologian, Blaise Pascal, wrote in his work, Pensée, I'm bad at French, okay, so I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing all this wrong, right? He says this in his work, all men seek happiness. This is without exception. Whatever different means they employ, they all tend to this end. The cause of some going to war and of others avoiding it is the same desire in both attending with different views. The will never takes the least step but to his object. This is the motive of every action of every man, even those who hang themselves. He says it quite bluntly. But he says this, that everyone, even those who are suicidal, their motives is happiness, and they seek happiness. We see that as innate, and it is biblical. We just spent this last summer studying Psalm 37. And in verse 4, we see how it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And remember Pastor Course reminding us to luxuriate in the Lord, and He kind of unpack this idea that there is something deeper and there's this richness and happiness in the Lord. Psalm 16:11 says, in your presence is fullness of joy, and your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And we're also motivated by happiness to accept the gospel. Hebrews 11:6 says, "For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." So I want you to keep this, just this thought, this idea in the back of your mind as we kind of continue this morning. And we're in the book of Proverbs. We've been studying Proverbs, and the theme is wiser. And we have defined wisdom as this. Wisdom is practical maturity for a Christ-centered life. Wisdom is not just knowledge. It is having the skill and the art of godly living and godly decision-making. It is knowing what the godly thing to do is and then doing it. That is what wisdom is. And when we saw, and we've been unpacking, and we see that wisdom, there is no true wisdom that exists apart from God. That His wisdom has been made manifest in Jesus, who's the wisest man on earth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, it says, "Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God." And as we see gospel, the wisdom of God, that they, before time began, God the Father and His Son has made this plan to save and reconcile and redeem mankind. That they have in God's infinite wisdom, He sent His Son down to redeem His creation. For us who have rebelled and sinned against God, we just sang that this morning, how we are rebels to God's will, that in His infinite wisdom, He sends His Son down to live this life that we could not live. He lived the perfect life, the life that we were supposed to live, and He died the death that we were supposed to have, and what we call the great exchange. His righteousness, all His rightness, all the right things He has done that has been credited to Him has been given to us, and all the evil, the sin that we have done, has now been credited to Christ on the cross. And in His infinite wisdom, He goes, "I have this plan to save and redeem sinners. People like you and people like me." So wisdom is not something that we do to try to game the system. As we've been reading Proverbs, it's easy for us to maybe read Proverbs and go, "Oh, it's just like this give and take thing, right? Like, I do this and then I get that. If I do this, I become rich. Right? If I do this, I get long life. If I do this, I get these great things." And we are trying to kind of back up and go, that's not what Proverbs is about. Because if that's what it's about, then that's just nothing but religion. It's just things that we do, and then what we kind of reap. We reap what we sow. But as we see in Scripture, what we reap and what we sow is definitely not goodness. And so what we see here in Proverbs is that when we encounter God and know His wisdom and live according to His wisdom, there are general consequences. So when we make godly wisdom, these godly consequences happen. These good things would generally happen to us. And if we live against and apart from God's wisdom, we see that we reap certain consequences as well. That when we live in a certain way and do certain things, that there is a pattern and rhythm in life that God wants us to see. That when we live according to wisdom, there's a pattern in life that allows us to reap certain benefits. But when we live in a pattern that is going against God's will, there's another consequence that follows with that as well. And so for us, as we are going to look into Proverbs and as we continue to dive into what wisdom is, what I want us to see this morning, what the passage, what Scripture wants us to see this morning, is that true happiness is found in living and walking in the way of wisdom. True happiness is found in living and walking in the way of wisdom. So we are in Proverbs chapter 3, and I'm going to start for us in verse 13. It says this, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her," which is wisdom, "is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. It is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her, and those who hold her fast are called blessed. We're going to stop right there. And what we're kind of in right now is a father giving wisdom to his son. Right, this is kind of the conversation that's having, and the conversation that's being kind of laid out. This father is sending his son down and goes, let me share you some of the things that I've learned and some of the wisdom that I've gained throughout my years. And so what he says here, and he's trying to point out, he goes, one of the things I've learned is that wisdom brings joy. Wisdom brings joy. So he starts off with this proverb, and it says, blessed is the one who finds wisdom. And this word blessed is another word that you can actually translate as happy. Happy is the one who finds wisdom. This same word used in the Greek is the same word that we'll find in the Beatitudes. So when Jesus says, blessed is the one who mourns, for they will be comforted, or blessed is the poor in spirit, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. And it's the same idea, and the idea is that there's a emotional component to it. So our first point is that wisdom brings joy. Wisdom brings joy. And so the father is telling him that you are blessed, you are happy when you find wisdom, and the one who gets understanding, that you run into it and you have it. And he says this is what it's like. It is better than all the riches in the world. Better than any riches in the world. And this is a really radical statement if we think about it. And a lot of times I think when we read passages like this, we're like, well, it's just a metaphor, or it's just a little bit of a hyperbole. But this guy's like, no. Wisdom, the value of wisdom is infinitely greater than any riches in the world. Wisdom is so much more valuable than that. In a Fortune magazine article, it says, the title of the article is, Americans may be rich, but they're not happy. Right, and in this article in Fortune magazine, they quote a section of this report that's authored by economist and director of Earth Institute at Columbia University, where Jeffrey Sachs says, the predominant political discourse in the United States is aimed at economic growth with the goal of restoring the American dream and the happiness that is supposed to accompany it. But the data shows conclusively that this is the wrong approach. Many of us have grown up in households that have been taught the gospel of education that leads to a good college, that leads to a good job, which leads to money and security, which leads to happiness. And so especially for us, when we hear these things, it's very odd for us to hear when we hear that wisdom, godly wisdom, knowing how to live according to the way that God has designed us to live, is much more valuable and precious than gold or silver or jewels. Money can buy a lot of things. But having money doesn't necessarily mean you're wise, does it? In fact, foolish people with money means they just have more ability to do foolish things. Because money opens that door for them. It's not very hard. You can just turn on the TV and you can see that happening. People with lots of money ruining their lives, ruining their marriages, having them just go in a downward spiral. And we can see easily whether it's from the business world to the music world to Hollywood or to professional athletes, there are some people that with lots of money just makes terrible decisions. So wisdom is definitely far more valuable and precious than money. Because money cannot buy you happiness as much as we would like to think it does. So what Scripture isn't saying, what Scripture is saying that wisdom is what actually brings you greatest joy and pleasure. And this wisdom is the wisdom that comes from God. Godly wisdom. And that we should be pursuing our joy and pleasure. And what true joy and what true pleasure really comes from is from God. I love the song that we sang this morning where it says, right, the sin which promised joy and life has led me to the grave. I mean, how powerful that is. And so he keeps on going. And here's the thing, right? And in verse 16, he continues to describe wisdom. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches. And he's saying that wisdom brings you more than what you can chase after things like, you know, chasing after riches itself. This brings you much more. It makes you, it's much more valuable. And continues that argument. And it says in verse 18, she is the tree of life to those who laid hold of her. Those who call, who hold her fast are called blessed. It says, man, God's wisdom is what brings you life. It's what brings you joy. So here's the thing. True, perfect, pure wisdom, which is knowing Christ, knowing and following Christ as revealed in Scripture, it is not contrary to happiness and joy. It is not like you have to choose. Do I choose to be happy or do I choose to follow Jesus? That's actually not the choice. The choice is, do I want to experience a greater happiness, a purer joy, and knowing that it's in Christ and following Him, the wisdom that comes from Christ, that is what results in true and greater happiness and joy. Now, I want everybody here to be happy. I want all of us here to be truly happy. But the thing is, a lot of times we start using our happiness and we're chasing things that ultimately leads us to death. And we have to see that this happiness is absolutely found in Christ and Christ alone. Knowing Him, following Him, obeying Him, that is much richer than anything in this world. The question is, do you trust Him? Do you trust His Word? Do you trust that this is actually true for you? Do you trust that following Christ and knowing Him and pursuing His wisdom would really bring you true happiness and joy? It's easy to say, but do any of us truly believe it? Matthew 13, verse 44 through 46, Jesus says this. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Right? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Right? He's saying that this wisdom found in Christ is worth a pursuit, worth of your life. Worth your life's pursuit. So let's keep on looking, going, and just continue and seeing exactly how that plays out. All right, so from verse 13 to about verse 20, we only read to verse 18. It is the mood of this passage is very indicative, right? It's just describing what wisdom is, what it's worth, what is its benefit. And from verse 21 to 26 is what we'll start covering now. It switches from this indicative mood of just, I'm explaining to you what wisdom is, to an urgent imperative, which means that he just becomes more commanding, like he's getting more urgent, he's pressing the issue all the more. And the issue he's pressing is one thing. Goes, I want you to see that wisdom is rich and wisdom is better than anything in this world. And he goes and he kind of switches moods a little bit and goes, because there's security in the Lord. The Lord stands by his words, that the wisdom guards life. And he kind of moves to this more, and he's like, I want you to see that wisdom guards your life. This joy guards your life. So let's read from verse 19 where we left off, and we'll read to 26. It says, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down to dew. Verse 21, my son, do not lose sight of these. Keep wisdom and discretion. They will be the life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. And so here the father, this father, as he's talking to his son, he continues. So in verse 19 to 20, he starts showing, he goes, by the Lord's wisdom, the world is created and is held together. He goes, this is what wisdom is like. This is not random chance. He goes, God in his wisdom created and holds all things together. It is intentional. It is specific. It is purposeful. And he moves to this more urgent move and goes, do not lose sight of this. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Right? Which means, this idea of discretion means like live in a way to walk the path of life in a constructive way and avoid the lures of the evil path. Right? Thinking through your consequences of action and choosing the most effective way. He goes, keep your eyes on these. Keep your eyes on this. Don't lose sight of it. Because it will be the life of your soul and adornment for your neck. And we talked about this previously, this idea of this adornment for a neck. It's like a medal of honor. They have this recess, an honor, right? So they wear it, or they wear it around the neck. It's like it's an honor when people see it. Right? It's like a medal of honor you get to walk, that you wear around. It's like walking around with this huge Olympic gold medal around your neck. Right? That's honor. When people see it, they're wowed by it. It's not a participation award. Right? I know everybody loves to get participation awards, but nobody's taking their kid's trophy and displaying up really high. Maybe you are. I don't know why. I just don't understand. Right? My kid participated. Did they win a single game? No, but they participated. No one cares about that. They don't think they have the gold Olympic honor, right? Like this, like that is amazing. That's real honor. And so he goes, this is one of the natural consequences of living in this way. And he goes, it is, you're hanging around your neck and it keeps on going. He goes, and when you do this, you won't be afraid. You will walk securely. When you lie down, you won't be afraid. When you lie down, when you sleep, your sleep will be sweet. A lot of times we're the most vulnerable where we are most vulnerable is when we're sleeping. And he's saying, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of sudden terrors or the ruin of the wicked when it comes. And I think a lot of us are very familiar of what that's been looking like. We've been talking about that. And he says, the Lord will be your confidence. And actually, the Hebrew, when he says the Lord will be your confidence, it actually means at your loins. At your loins. Meaning that the Lord will be by your side. He's close to you. And it will keep your foot from being caught. And so here he's making this argument. Just as God has created and sustained this world with his wisdom and his understanding, our life and joy will be sustained by living according to his wisdom and understanding. That just as God has sustained the world, created and sustained this world, He will sustain your life too by wisdom. See, wisdom breeds confidence. Because the wisdom he's trying to explain here is not wisdom, it's not your own personal wisdom that you build your life on. He's saying, I want you to build your life on God's wisdom, on that foundation, and then with that, you can have confidence in him. And you see that there's this whole life, I'm guarding your life. And look at what he goes. He talks, do not lose sight of these. Your eyes, your foot will not stumble. And he says, your neck will be adorned. I'll be at your loins, by your side. And he says, I'm there with you. I'll sustain you every single step of the way. Wisdom guards life. Living in wisdom guards your life. I grew up in a home, and I shared this a little bit, and I personally don't like sharing this, but I do it because I think hopefully it'll be helpful for you. You know, I pray that when I do share these things, that it would be encouraging in a sense of recognizing the consequences that lie ahead for some of us this morning. I grew up in a home with a lot of fighting, a lot of arguing. It was a pretty rough childhood growing up. I remember, am I on? I remember the day my dad walked out that door. I can still picture it in my mind. I remember him standing there. And I remember I was on the staircase. I remember, like, I don't feel like I have any more words to say to ask him to stay. And I remember him walking out. And that hurt, that pain, and that memory is something that I don't think I can ever forget. And I know that it not just didn't affect me, but I have two younger sisters. And the youngest one was 6. My youngest sister, we were about 10 years apart. So as a 16-year-old, I can imagine how much it affected me. As a 6-year-old, I can't even fathom what she had to go through. I know that she has shared a little bit about that. We don't talk about it often. But she shared about not having a lot of confidence growing up. She was a people pleaser. She's a bright young woman. She's in her second year of med school. Both my sisters, they're bright women. My sister is finishing residency and applying for fellowships. She's going to specialize in things. I'm so proud of her. I mean, I got 2 doctors in my family, right? So I just called them. I have a problem, right? And so, but I know that, but my dad leaving affected both of them and my mom in very deep, hurtful ways. And sometimes, like, you know, as I got older, I understand that life is complicated. Decisions, relationships are complicated, and just things in general when it comes to these things are complicated. But I saw a man trying to chase peace, trying to chase happiness and joy that could only be found in Christ. And it's an odd feeling staring into the eyes of your father and seeing that you know he cannot be happy with this, yet he can't change his course of life. And he just continued to chase for happiness and joy. And I would probably say, from what I can see, and I'm pretty sure for him as well, because who would want to live the rest of your life knowing, right, that you are alone in one area and your children is another? He didn't get to see the youngest grow up. He saw most of us grow up for half of our lives. And it just left him empty-handed. You can see in his, I can just see it in his eyes, there's just this regret of wishing things could have been different. I mean, how could you not? How could it not? And it left him empty-handed. I know life didn't go his way. It isn't a real surprise when people try to chase happiness and joy and peace apart from the wisdom of Christ, and it doesn't end well. I can point to story after story after story after story. And you might feel like this might be an example that's like pretty intense, or that's a little too out of where I'm at. But regardless, the question at hand, or I would say the implications of not living your life according to God's wisdom, will leave us unguarded and open. Right? The sin that promised joy and life just led me to the grave, and there is nothing that can portray that than a lot of us this morning. And I'm just going to be honest. Many of us this morning are making foolish decisions because you want to chase after happiness and joy, but the choices you're making are leading you to the grave. And some of us here are making choices that are simultaneously destroying your life and the lives of those around you while you continue to chase this idea of happiness. While you chase this idea of happiness and we don't trust that God's word says that He will guard us, that we don't trust that what He says, that living in His joy, living in His wisdom will bring us joy, and we say, no, I think I know how to do it myself. That is the same thing that happened in Genesis chapter 3 with Adam and Eve when they said, I don't trust what God says. I think I can tame it myself. I will make decisions going after my wisdom and what I think is right. And we end up with the trail of bodies and regret. But I have hope for you this morning. That though maybe many of us have been making foolish decisions in life and choosing to walk in a way that is contrary to God's wisdom, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. And He gives hope. And right now, there is a hand extended out going, I am here to turn you around. And it's by grace that He says that I will still be by your side. And He's willing and ready and waiting for you to turn around and turn towards Him. You see, this is what faith looks like. That we turn from our way, our sin, and turn towards Christ. Repentance means we turn away from our sin. Faith means we turn towards Christ. That you can't repent without faith, and you can't have faith without repenting. It is you're going turning away from sin, and you're turning towards Jesus. And that is probably the first wise choice you can make this morning. For a lot of us who are making foolish decisions, and here's the natural consequence in life that is that God, that this Father, that God is telling us, wisdom guards life, and on the flip side, living apart from wisdom leaves you open for destruction. And He's not just going, well, good luck, you're on your own. He's like, I'm telling you these things. And the gates of the kingdom is open. Come run into the kingdom, into the castle, and find protection here. And He's beckoning from those living outside the walls of the kingdom to come in. There is joy. There is life. You can find all that you need in here. You don't need to be out there. Come in. And so the call for us this morning is to turn towards Jesus and away from how you think is right. Let's kind of just wrap this up real quick. Verse 27, and it says this. And it says, do not withhold good from those whom it is due, when it is your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again tomorrow, I will give it to you, when you have it with you. Do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason, when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his way, for the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Towards the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor. The wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgraced. All right, that sounds really harsh, right? So, wrap this up, saying that the last passage is, this is just practical wisdom lived out. Right? He says that wisdom is your joy. It makes you happy. God, wisdom is your joy. It gives you joy. And wisdom guards life. And this is how wisdom is practically lived out. Right? So he's talking about this idea of how do you interact with those around you. Right? A wise person does not withhold good when he has the means and opportunities to do so. Right? So what being wise means is that you don't withhold good when you can do good. The second thing is you don't delay in doing good when you have the means and opportunity to do so. So it's that you don't withhold it and you don't delay it. Wise persons do not instigate or kick somebody when they're down. Right? He goes, this is not what wisdom is portrayed in love and doing these things. It's like, well, you know, don't plan evil against your neighbor, especially those who are trusting you. And so don't kick when they're down. Right? In our days, man, it's through our words, through social media, through our attitudes. We do this all the time. And a wise person does not wish to have opportunity to do evil. And he's like, you know, you're supposed to do good and not withhold from doing good, but don't harbor these evil thoughts in your mind and in your heart. Going, man, how many of us have ever said, if I had no consequences, I would do this, this, and this. Right? I said that all the time, man. If there was no consequences, I wish I had a Hummer I could just run over all these bad drivers. And don't do that. I'm just like, I just want to run all these people over. You want to cut me off? I'm going to run you over, right? Like, that's just evil. Don't do those things. He goes, why? 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 You know, he starts giving all these practicals. All of a sudden, he's like, got super practicals. Why? Why should we live wisdom out? Because from verse 32 to 35, it says this, goes, God rejects those who do not choose and listen to wisdom, but blesses the people who does. And it's getting showing the great benefit of living in wisdom and wisdom lived out. Again, he goes, this is what wisdom apart from me looks like. God's like, I cannot, within my character and my holiness, I just cannot bless you living apart from wisdom. But I will bless those and you as well if you come in here. This is where wisdom is practically lived out. This is where the benefits are. Because this is where I bless. I'm not going to bless this. I can't bless this. I can't bless your sin. I can't bless your selfishness. I can't bless the way you're destroying yourself. I can't. It would be evil for me to bless that. That you're destroying the livelihood of yourself and others. Why would I bless that? You know, I want you to reap the consequences here so you can see that this is where the blessings are. You see, when we read this, we think God is evil. But in fact, God is very good that He chooses not to bless our evil ways. That shows how good He is. It doesn't show how bad He is. You know who's the one that blesses evil ways? Those are evil people. If you see your friend for the walk down a cliff, you don't go, you do whatever you want. You pull them back. The good person goes, don't go there. There's danger there. It's the evil person that says, do whatever you want. And he's saying, see, this is what I'm trying to show you. This is where safety is. This is where I bless. Come here. Come here. And so, this is some quick thoughts for us as we wrap things up, this last part of the passage. We have to ask ourselves, what are some things that we are not doing that we should be actively doing? What are some things that we should stop doing? What are some things that we should start doing? Is there someone I need to forgive or have a conversation of reconciliation this morning, trusting in God's wisdom? Is God calling you to humble yourself and rely on Him? See, in the end, the most important part is that wisdom is not just theology, but doxology or praise. It's not just intellectual, but it's practical. We don't stop at knowing wisdom, but we have to apply it in our life. And wisdom ultimately points us and derives from, and the foundation is, in Christ. That Christ is where we can set our gaze and say, that's where wisdom really is. To trust in Him. To follow Him. To know Him. To turn away from our sins and turn towards Jesus. That's where real wisdom